It's time to get brutally honest.
Ray, if you were single right now, would you be on Tinder?
Probably.
You horny little devil, you.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
To the shock of many, I'm in here, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling 100%.
You're
healthy.
All right?
Yeah.
Because you fought back.
I did, man. I wasn't feeling great a couple of days ago. Remember, you guys were calling that I was going to have to pull the chute because I had the sniffles or whatever. And then yesterday, I was burning up because I was too stupid to put suntan lotion on before I played golf.
Yeah.
But today, I feel okay, and I'm reading all your tweets. A lot of comedians out there, because of the trade in the NHL, Drew in for Sergachev.
Yeah.
I got like 15 tweets immediately, just assuming I'm going to be sick today.
Well, if it was Drouin for Nylander or something, that's when you would be sick.
I'd be in the ICU right now. I wouldn't be back for like a month and a half.
You know what?
Let's just buckle up here, because remember last year there was one, and then there was another, and then there was another. So sometimes all it takes is one. It's like coaches getting fired. It just takes one.
Man, I know.
There's
You'll never ever relive that 23 minutes again. But
no, I won't.
It's coming. And you said this just before we came on the air. Like, these next couple days are going to be loaded. I really believe teams are starting to jostle, and you don't want to be handing players away to Vegas for nothing.
Well, the freeze goes in this weekend.
Saturday at noon, is it?
Yeah, I believe that. I think it's 3 o'clock. So at that point, Vegas has exclusivity over the whole league.
Yeah.
Like, they own the league. Nothing can happen unless it's going through Vegas. Every trade, every signing.
Right.
The league effectively shuts down, and they allow the new kids on the block to build up their team.
Saturday at 3, the beginning of the trade freeze. Friday until 5 p.m. Eastern, guys who have their no movement clause can waive.
Right. So you've got just a short while here for the other 30 teams, the 30 original teams.
Exactly.
To get some business done before they realize Vegas can roll through their team and just take whoever might be available.
Yeah.
And I think that partially played a role in this. I don't think fully played a role in this, because Jonathan Drouin for Sergachev, who's a really good prospect out of Windsor, who the Habs took 9th overall last year.
He's their top prospect.
He's their top prospect and is expected to be a really good defenseman in the future. This is a big deal. This is a blockbuster type of deal that could happen at any point. But I do think there's a bit of an expansion angle to this, because Jonathan Drouin does have to be protected. So right off the hop, the Habs have to protect him. They did not have to protect Sergachev. In reverse, if Drouin got traded after this, the Lightning would have had to use him as one of their 7 protections up front.
Yeah.
Now they don't have to worry about that. So now Tampa can effectively keep someone maybe they were going to lose, and they get this Sergachev kid who they don't have to protect.
And they also get to keep somebody that they can afford, because by all accounts, Drouin's going to get in the 5.5 to 6 range or whatever. You still have to sign a lot of guys in Tampa to make sure they're comfortable. So I think they made that decision. It is a curious decision, because I think Jonathan Drouin's a star, but I think there's some baggage there, which
there is some baggage from the trade demand. And as far as the hockey trade itself, I agree with you about Drouin being a star. I think he's ready for a breakout season, and I was excited to watch him play with Steven Stamkos next year. And kind of, if you watch Stamkos' career, he had the most success when he played with Marty St. Louis. He was that gifted guy that always had the puck.
Guy who could pass,
a guy that could pass and dangle and create room, and Stamkos would just find those holes. But he goes to Montreal. And I love Bergevin, and he's getting praise on Twitter for people saying, this guy's got balls, he'll pull the trigger on a deal. But they're still not addressing the proper issues with the team. You've brought in a dynamic winger.
Yeah.
You still didn't address the center ice position, and your D-core is junk to begin with, and you lose your best D prospect. So there's two angles. I love the fact you brought in the dynamic winger, the scorer, the French-Canadian kid that's going to be playing at home.
Yeah.
But as far as your team needs, you didn't fix any of them.
I'm with you, exactly. Like, Drouin, his talents speak for themselves.
Yeah.
The French-Canadian angle is one that I'm not sure the rest of the hockey world can quite understand. It means a lot in Montreal.
It does, yeah.
And I don't think that should necessarily factor into why you pull the trigger on a deal, but it can be a big bonus factor to it.
Yeah, it's a 2% bonus on top.
It's something you add to it where you can say, look what else we're bringing into our marketplace. But I'm with you, O. But he's a winger. Like, I don't care what they say between now and camp that we might test him out at center. I just don't see it. I don't think he's big enough. I don't think he has that game. I think they've addressed an area that they didn't really need to address. And you also mentioned that Sergachev, yeah, he's their top defenseman. But more importantly, in my opinion, he's their top trade chip. And they used their top trade chip to address a position they didn't need to address.
Well, here's
so I'm not sure I can wrap my head around this.
There's got to be some element to it. It's just making a deal to make a splash type of thing.
I don't know about that. You needed scoring. You can add that. Here's another thing. I don't think this is the only trade this guy's making. This is the only thing I'll say is when Taylor Hall got traded for Adam Larson, all hell broke loose. Chiarelli knew that he had Lucic sliding in there to take Hall's spot.
What center do you think Bergevin has up his sleeve, Noodles?
It's
going to cost him less than Sergachev.
We've dealt with this for years with the Leafs. There's none out there. There's none out there that are on the block. The Ryan Johansson trade right now, I don't believe, is out there.
And they don't have
a guy to move for Ryan Johansson.
The only guy I thought who was potentially was Matt Duchene. Now, I don't know what it would take to get Matt Duchene. But all
I'm
saying
Duchene
is that...
Does Matt Duchene even play the center ice?
Yes. Yes, he's second in the National Hockey League in draws one. Like, he's a bona fide number one centerman. Here's the thing, though. I agree. They haven't addressed what they need. They need center iceman, and they need D. They did make a splash of this. The only thing I would say is, what's interesting is, what's that team going to look like 3 months from now? Because they need more. They need more than that.
They do need more, but how do you get more? And that's my point. Do I like Drouin? Yes. This kind of reminds me, apples and oranges in a way,
right,
to the Phil Kessel trade when Burke first got here.
Right.
Did I like Phil Kessel and what he was going to bring? Absolutely.
Right.
Did I like the fact that they traded two first-rounders when they were a brutal team?
Right.
Absolutely not. And they brought in a winger who they were going to build around up front, and now this offense is effectively going to be built around Drouin and Pacioretty. You also have to wonder about the ripple effect because reports are already out there. They're working on a deal long-term for Drouin. Like you said, maybe $5.5, $6
million. Right.
How much does Radulov have left if they bring him back? We know that Galchenyuk's name is out there in terms of the rumors.
Right.
Until it happens, you have to consider what his number is going to be at. And more importantly than anything else, how much is Carey Price going to make come July 1st?
Here's a question that
there's a lot of money that's coming in all
of a
sudden in
Montreal. Here's a question to you, though, that I would pose. What if they signed Radulov and kept Galchenyuk?
Then you're built on the wings.
Well, you're built on the wings, but you still have three talented players, like very talented players. So I don't know. I'm throwing it out there. I don't know. I'm throwing it out to you guys. My point is I think you need talent. And that's the one thing that was, some of it was lacking with the Montreal Canadiens, is you just didn't have that. I agree, 100%. You didn't address a number one centerman position. You didn't address depth on D, because Markov is 39 or whatever. You got Shea Weber, but outside of that, I like Nathan Beaulieu. Some people don't. Outside of that, there's not much depth there. Jordy Benn and guys like that. I think more has to come. That's why it's interesting. Today, it should be a start for Bergevin, because if it's the finish, I don't like it.
I don't think it is.
If it's the start of, I'm going to acquire a defenseman, I'm going to acquire a centerman, I'm going to acquire things, then at least they're moving and shaking. I like Drouin as the player, but to your point, if Drouin could find Pacioretty or Radulov or Galchenyuk, maybe they keep Galchenyuk at center and have this guy feed him the puck. All they did was add somebody who I think is a really good player, but also comes with massive baggage.
Well, right? And at this point, they got the best player in the trade, and you got to remember
very
that.
I love the kid. Like, he's got his baggage, his issues in Tampa, but as far as what he does on the ice, he's dynamic. He can make plays. This guy, he can go out there and score a goal.
The scary part is what if Sergachev turns out to be Hedman?
But, or it could go the opposite way.
Right.
That's the gamble that you're making if you're Tampa. I mean, let's not forget that Tampa's given up the talented guy here who put on a show at times this year and has the potential to be a great player and was a third overall pick only a few years ago. Sergachev, you're right. What if he turns into Hedman the second? Then all of a sudden, Tampa in 10 years is going to say, wow, we really love what we did.
Right.
What if he turns into Griffin Reinhardt?
Yes.
A top 10 pick who just never materializes. Then all of a sudden, you look at it, and I know there's some picks involved here, but really, it's player for player
ultimately.
Yeah,
it's a six-rounder for a second-rounder, and there's some I think some caveats, like if Sergachev plays
more than 40 games next year.
People say it's... When I called games in Montreal, they told me to call him Sergachev.
That was my understanding.
Because people were like, it's Sergachev, it's this and that. Listen, tomato, tomato, we're going to call the guy Sergachev today. So I don't need any pronunciation lessons right now.
It's Sergachev, and now he might Americanize this because he doesn't have to worry
about
it.
Because in Ottawa, when I was calling a game, it was Alex Chiasson. He goes to Calgary, and he goes, no, it's Chiasson. Because he wanted to be on the English side.
Yeah, he changed his name like three times.
Exactly. So Milan Mihalik and his brother says Zibednar or whatever his name, Mihalik. Like, it happens. I was told when I was calling a game, Gord Miller is really good with pronunciations. Sergachev.
All right.
Let's stick with that.
It's Sergachev. Sergachev for Drouin. And Drouin now is going to Montreal. He's a French-Canadian. He plays with flair. He's a blast to watch play, man. This kid is something else. But I think it's interesting because prior to this trade happening, we were going to talk a lot about what Drew Doughty had to say on Leafs Lunch. And Drew Doughty's from Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
And the idea of kids from the area playing for the Leafs and what comes with that. I think we'll play this clip, but now consider what could be applying here with Drouin.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Montreal. Here's what Drew Doughty had to say earlier today. This was about kids from Ontario playing for the Leafs, but I think it applies kids from Quebec playing for the Habs.
Yeah, we'd all want to play here, but especially with the team, the way that they're getting better and stuff like that. But I think it just always comes down to, you know, how hard it would be to live in a city being that big of a celebrity. You know, mm-hmm. I'm spoiled in L.A. where I walk anywhere I want, and not one person's going to recognize me.
So that's not going to be the case with Drouin in Montreal.
No, he's going home.
And by the way, he didn't say, I want to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. What he was talking about is growing up in Ontario, there's always that little soft spot for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
I would play in the NHL, and when the season would end, I would come home. If the Leafs were in the playoffs, I would go to games. Like, that's just...
I think you're unique, though.
Huh?
I think you're unique.
Our buddy Brucey Boudreau said he played for the Leafs. He still, to this day, watches all the Leaf games.
But, like, he played for them. You played for them. You grew up here. I think you're unique. Like, you are one of the most unique NHLers I ever met as far as a fan, the way you conduct yourself and that. I'm more of, like, I grew up in Edmonton. I would go home. I tracked the Oilers, but I never loved the team or whatever. But I grew up there, and I was spoiled watching Cups there. I think I've told you guys this. Like, I'll go to the next year's parade. But it was neat. There are guys that grew up in respective cities. Like, we've got buddies now that are wanting Ginla to sign in Edmonton mm-hmm. for his last year if he's going to play. I don't know if he's going to. But I don't know. I didn't know how to take Doughty's comments. I think there was some cryptic in there. Like, hey, it would be neat, but I don't know how neat it would be depending on how he lives with his lifestyle. Like, this guy wants to have a beer on the corner. I don't know if he'd be able to do it if he was a Maple Leaf.
Well, I think, you're the only one in here that was a Maple Leaf, so you can speak to what that lifestyle is like. But if you're a superstar player in any sport, L.A.'s different because it's a different beast. The biggest celebrities in the world are living in L.A. So, and it's a Lakers town and a Dodgers town. But if you're a superstar NBA player and you're 6'8", 6'9", you can never disappear. It doesn't matter where you play. You can never disappear.
Kobe, Shaq,
you think Tom Brady can walk down the street in Boston? I mean, it doesn't happen. So, is there a celebrity that comes with being a Maple Leaf? Of course. Could that bother some players? I could see it being bothersome at times. I could see some people not having that kind of personality. To be honest, it's not really the hockey way to seek out celebrity. You know, it's always been ingrained in hockey players, team before player.
I'm kind of
uncomfortable in the spotlight. But the truth is, some players actually do crave it. Speaking of Montreal, you don't think PK loved being spotted in Montreal when he was a Hab?
Yeah.
You don't think there's some players that absolutely love the celebrity?
Embraced it.
And the brand endorsements that come with that kind of stuff. And I think other sports handle this all the time. The NHL needs to get better at seeking out that celebrity. The lifestyle, I understand it, that being obscure could be beneficial in many ways, but Other sports don't get that luxury.
I think it comes down to personality, too. And that's why I think Austin Matthews' personality fits real nice with this market, because he doesn't seem to be an uptight guy. He doesn't seem to be a guy who gets worried about what gets said and stuff like that, where if you are a different type of personality and you track what gets said and you're worried about what the media says and this and that, I think this market would struggle with it a little bit more than a relaxed guy. Like, to me, Austin is, we were having fun yesterday. This guy's tweeting out pictures of Marner's jorts and that. Like you said, this guy's going to show up in a Valera tracksuit one day. It wouldn't matter. Like, I think he is embracing it. He's getting in at the right time because he's a superstar already and the city's embracing him. I don't see any downside with a guy like Austin. But have you ever noticed with Connor McDavid, like, no matter where he is, he's going to be a little bit awkward. Like, I think that's just how Connor is. He's guarded.
Right. But if you're a superstar, now, like, Doughty, I'm sure he's being a little bit humble there. I'm sure he gets spotted at times in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's won two cups. He's the face
of
the
Kings. And he does have a unique look. He's got the beard and he's missing jibs.
Right. I'm sure at times he's walking down Ventura Boulevard or whatever, or Sunset, and they're like, hey, there's Drew Doughty.
You could mistake him for Zach what is that guy?
Galifianakis?
Sometimes, too, because I don't think he's carved out of stone.
No. He's definitely not. But this is also that mentality that some players have, maybe the majority have, points to the importance of drafting. Don't let Connor McDavid pick where he's going to go. Draft him. Don't let Matthews say, I'd rather just be in Arizona where I can be. No, draft him and then make him comfortable to your own situation.
Exactly.
And then protect him once you get him. Like, it just, that mentality, I get it. I understand it. It is something that I think hockey players tend to lean towards. Like, hey, kind of leave me alone. Just going about their business. But if you're drafted somewhere, you learn to be comfortable and you can learn to hide. And there are benefits of celebrity as well, because it would be pretty cool to be superstar Maple Leaf on a really good winning team.
I was drafted by the Hartford Whalers and had zero celebrity.
I know, but oh!
But if you were drafted by the Leafs, you would have been a household name almost right off the hop.
Honestly, that's probably the worst thing that would have ever happened to me.
Oh, you played.
You don't think you would have handled that ego well?
At a young age like that? Probably not.
You played 2 years here, or one? 1 year,
two
or
2 years.
Well, that's eating up a lot of draft picks, man. Like, guys that get drafted, and that's why you got. It makes you even more impressed with what Matthews, Marner, and Nylander did in their first year.
Yeah,
because they showed up at camp, and remember, we were joking about how all these vets who have been here for years, Bozak, JVR, Kadri, Gardner, everyone in the media was like, go stand over there. We're not interested in you guys at all. Who are you? Like, we don't need to talk to you. We're talking to these new guys, and they're going to be on the front page of all the papers in leading SportsCenter and be talked about on Overdrive or whatever. And yet they all handled it as well as you could possibly handle it. And circling back now to Drouin in Montreal, this is a guy who, just based on the material we have,
right,
we don't know him personally, but based on the material we have, where it looked like he went kind of petulant on Tampa Bay at times and said, I'm not coming.
Yep.
Or if you don't make me a superstar, I'm not playing.
Taking my net and going home. We were all pissed at him on this show.
Now he's in Montreal, and they're gonna, before he plays a game, they're gonna give him a massive contract. Like, this will be a big adjustment for him.
Hey, you're 100% right, 100%. This guy is going to, arguably, I guess, Toronto and Montreal, biggest hockey markets. Argue whichever one's bigger. Going to get a massive contract, and with that, massive expectations. If this guy has a slow start in the first 10 games, and what do you think we're talking about? Mm-hmm. What do you think they're talking about on every show? Tony Marinara going nuts on his show, yelling and screaming.
Obviously, different players, different situation, but like when David Clarkson was signed here, he was hyped up like you've never seen before, and he got the money and he got the contract.
Wendell Clarkson.
Yeah, wasn't that the front cover of one of the papers?
The Sun, I think, had that.
Wendell Clarkson.
And he got suspended before he played a regular season game and then just never got on track.
Suspended for 10 games.
10 Jumped games over. For jumping over the bench and doing nothing in a fight that...
Because of Phil
and John Scott.
It was all Phil's fault.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Funny.
Anyway, that's the big news in the NHL today. But, man, we're bracing ourselves for where this is going to go from here, because Jonathan Drouin for Mikhail Sergachev, Or as someone points out, now that he's down in the States, it's Mike Sergachev.
Yeah, his name is now...
He'll be Mike Sergey.
You think it's Mike Sergey?
It'll be Mike Serge by opening night in October.
Yeah, that's true. English name.
Yeah, he'll be... It'll go Anglophone real quick down in Tampa. But Sergachev for Drouin, couple of picks in there. Yeah. That's a big deal. A couple of big names. And Drouin going to Montreal. So the Habs, that's 2 years in a row where they've made a statement in the summer. And the reaction, I would think, in Montreal to this deal, quite different than what the PK deal was all about last year, where people were freaking out. So we'll keep breaking that down and see where the Leafs come into all this. And Kevin Ioli is going to join us from Yahoo Sports. He broke the news yesterday of Mayweather-McGregor. So we'll get to that as well in 10 minutes, get his take on where this is going to go. August 26th, the fight in Vegas. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. You can text us 105050. Someone texting in here saying, hey guys, what if Montreal is building the way Pittsburgh built? Load up with forwards, just be okay on defense, and rely on Carey Price to carry the weight if need be.
Well, where's your generational talent up front?
Exactly.
In Crosby and Malkin.
Especially in the middle.
That's the whole point.
That's the point. You got two generational centermen. Like,
that's how
generational
you win.
Center.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise to anyone. You need to build up the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
You have to. You can afford to have lesser talent on the wings if you have talent up the middle.
Look at who Sidney Crosby's been playing with his whole career.
Which actually adds to his greatness.
No kidding. Dupuis, Kunitz, Sheary. It goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Gensel.
Yeah. And like Hornqvist for a bit here or there. Like, he never had the top dog. The top dog winger always played with Malkin.
They tried James Neal with him the odd time.
Well,
didn't work. Tried Phil with him. Didn't work.
But, you know, I don't think Crosby works with guys like that. Like, Iginla went there. He didn't really mesh with them. Like, Kessel didn't work. Like, I think Crosby works with guys who have an understanding that he drives the bus with the puck. And you got to get to the net. You got to go and get the puck. That's why I think Chris Kunitz is such an underrated player. The guy's a beast to play against in the corner because he goes and gets the puck and he gets to the front of the net and he's a heavy player. But you're right. Like, drive it down the middle. I still believe that Montreal's not done yet. I'd like to have this conversation mid-September where you're like, okay, look what they did. And if they haven't addressed the issues that, to me, are very glaring, then they failed.
I don't think there's any doubt that they are going to do more. I get the impression like Galchenyuk is as good as traded. When you hear the rumors and you see that amount of smoke, I think he's getting dealt.
Unless,
I just question what his value is and what you can get for him in return.
The only thing that I thought of immediately is that maybe there was some form of Galchenyuk for Drouin, and Stevie Y was like, no, I'm good. So that's the only, like, because there were so many rumors swirling around, like Galchenyuk may be on the move. Maybe that was one of the original plays, that maybe Galchenyuk was in on that play.
Maybe. But
I don't know.
That would be a guy you'd have to protect if you're Tampa. And
yeah, I know.
They're looking for defense. You know, they got Hedman and Strowman, and they wanted another defenseman. And obviously, they like Sergachev. And at the trade deadline, Bergevin came out and said they're not trading Sergachev for names that were being floated at that time, like Duchesne right. and others. He obviously decided to make an exception here with Jonathan Drouin. So we'll keep talking about this Habs trade, where the Leafs come into play on this, because the next 48 hours, we're expecting some movement before Vegas effectively shuts down the league, and they have exclusivity over every single move. They can talk to free agents, they can make trades, and the rest of the league just has to stand pat until after the expansion draft.
I'll be so pissed off if a lot of stuff goes down on Saturday. Like, just
enough. You know
what's
going to happen.
It probably will.
Now, Friday at 7:05, as we're on the DVP.
Yeah. The Leafs will acquire Dumba and Sammy Vatanen, and we'll be driving home. That's fine. Whatever. Do it whenever you want. We'll talk about it on Monday. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time talking about the fight becoming official. Mayweather versus McGregor, August 26th. What kind of money are we talking about here? Yeah. And what kind of options are there really for McGregor to actually find a way to win this fight? Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, he's all over this scene, both MMA and boxing. He broke the news yesterday. He'll join us to break it down in 2 minutes. August 26th, gear up and get ready to spend some money. Because Mayweather-McGregor is taking place in Vegas. And the last time we had like a super fight to really talk about was Mayweather-Pacquiao. And that was going for $99, I believe. Basically $100 on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I bit the bullet on that. I will be biting the bullet on this as well in the man cave. But I'm curious to find out how much we're really going to be talking here. $100, $150, $200?
No, it's...
You think more than $100?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh?
$150, $200? Could it be that much?
Let's bring in Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports. Place a number for us, Kevin. How much for a pay-per-view buy for this fight?
I think you can expect $100. I asked the question on the conference call yesterday what they were going to do, and I made the point that in the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight that they priced a lot of average people out of the show, and what would they do to get around it? And they said a lot of nice things, and we want the average person to be able to watch it and to be involved. But at the end of the day, they also said the guys are making big checks and blah, blah, blah. So I would think $100 is going to be the price on the pay-per-view. And the ticket prices, which also haven't been determined yet, I think are going to be astronomical.
So in the building you're talking?
We were talking about us Correct. Going down there for the fight. What are we looking at to get into this fight? Is it possible?
Again, they haven't decided the ticket prices yet, but I would be willing to bet that the entry-level price is going to be $1,000. I think that they'll be able to get, you know, they did $10,000 tickets for Mayweather-Pacquiao, and maybe this one won't get that kind, but they may be able to scale it up to like $7,500. So I think it's going to be prohibitive to get in there, and really it's going to be mostly rich people in the crowd that night.
Well, Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports, I look at this from Mayweather's standpoint. He's been down this road many times. He's had super fights. He's made a fortune every single time he steps into the ring. The biggest contrast between these two is their career earnings, where Mayweather's up over like 700 mil, and McGregor's at 27 mil. I wonder how this is going to affect the trajectory or the path of McGregor's career. If he makes up around $100 million, $150 million, how concerned is the UFC that he's never going to come back?
Dana is confident, Dana White, the UFC president, is confident that he is going to come back, but I don't share that confidence, you know, and I think, you know, Conor ended up on this year's Forbes Top 100 list in sports for the highest paid athletes in 2016, and I think they had him at $28 million in salary and like $7 million endorsements for $35 million. So, you know, I think that, you know, now he's in one fight going to make three times that, and not counting other things he's going to get, which is going to exponentially go up. What is the reason for him to go back? What's the reason for him to go through the drill in training camp and sacrifice your body? He just had a new child born a couple of months ago. He's got a beautiful girlfriend. They're planning to get married. I just don't see why he would want to do it again after that fight.
With Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports.
What do you think about the consensus on Twitter? Everyone's like, it's exciting, I want to go there, but Conor McGregor has no chance of winning this fight.
I certainly don't think he has much of a chance to win, and I say that with a person who knows how good Conor is as an MMA fighter and has an immense amount of respect. But, you know, you're talking two different sports here. You know, I use the analogy with some people when I say, when you think about boxing versus MMA, think about baseball versus softball. And, you know, while they're similar, there's both a bat and a ball, and the fielders wear gloves, there's a lot of differences. And I think the differences are going to play out in Floyd Mayweather just, you know, painting McGregor all over the ring. And I think, you know, I would find it hard to believe that Conor will be able to land a big shot. But even if he does, instead of wearing the 4-ounce gloves, he's going to be wearing 10-ounce gloves. So it's going to be a lot of changes for him, and I don't think it's going to work out very well in terms of the actual competitive event on that night.
Are you worried that instinct takes over and McGregor kicks him or arm bars him or anything like that. I mean, sometimes when you get into a street fight or to the adrenaline's rolling, maybe the mind isn't going, and if he senses that he's getting embarrassed, do you think there's worry behind the scenes that he may just get disqualified and take this to the ground?
I don't. Number one, there will be massive penalties for him if he did that. You know, the Nevada Athletic Commission would fine him a significant amount of money. There's penalty clauses in the contract if something like that happened. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't think the contracts need to be in there. Conor McGregor is a professional, and he conducts himself professionally, and I think that, you know, he's got a lot of hype. He's got a wit. He talks, but I think he does things the right way, and he would never embarrass the sport that made him a rich man by doing something like that. So, you know, he's going to fight a rough fight. That's the only way he wins. He's going to try to, you know, kind of shoulder Mayweather into a corner, and if he can get a, you know, little nudge in there or whatever, you know, he's going to rough him up as a boxer would do trying to rough Mayweather up, but I don't think he's going to go beyond the rules at all.
Another big disparity between the two is the age. Mayweather's 40 now. He hasn't been fighting a lot in recent years. Is McGregor's best bet potentially that Mayweather has slowed down a little bit?
With most fighters, you would answer that question yes. In this particular instance, so we're having a guy that has been boxing for about 7 months, training, not even fighting. And Mayweather, who's been boxing for 37 years, you know, he put gloves on when he was 3 years old and has basically never taken them off. And now he's 40. So this is a guy that knows his way around a boxing ring. So I think even if he has slowed down, and eventually it is going to happen, you know, it's going to happen at some point, whether it's this fight or if he keeps fighting, you know, he's going to have what happens to every other fighter. He's going to slow down and somebody would hit him. But I just think Conor has so far become that even if Mayweather isn't what he was a couple of years ago, it's still going to be more than enough to whitewash Conor.
Thank you for this, Kevin. Really appreciate the update. I'm sure we'll catch up again before the fight in late August.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports. The promotion will be just prolific. I mean, it will be just out of this world.
I think it's
going to
be unreal, the promotion, just because it started yesterday. I went back and looked at that picture, the Mayweather father picture.
Senior.
Yeah, Floyd Senior.
Yeah. He's going to be chirping about his age nonstop.
Yeah.
Mayweather will be chirping about how much better he is.
Yeah,
And this is what's going to happen, because the same thing happened with Mayweather-Pacquiao. Everyone will know it's going to be a cash grab. We will complain nonstop about how it's a cash grab. Then we will openly hand over our cash.
Yeah.
It won't be a great fight, and then we'll complain again about how it was a cash grab. But this is just deja vu. That's what's going to happen.
I watched
that. That's the way it always is.
Yet I want to see it, right? Like, I'm not expecting much of a fight, but this is almost like the Super Bowl. Even if it's a blowout, you got to watch.
For sure.
Don't you think?
I watched that fight in a bar in Chicago, the Mayweather fight. It was cool.
This fight in particular, I'm not even into this whatsoever. I never have bought a fight on TV. Ever, ever, ever. But for some reason, I'll have to tune into this. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is. It's just, I'll have to watch it.
It's going to be must-watch TV.
It's a spectacle, isn't it?
We're going to watch it in your basement.
Yeah. Come on over.
Unless we're going to Vegas.
Unless we have a grand each to get into the building, let alone what it's going to cost to get hotels and
flights.
That's
what I don't understand. Like, do people, like mega celebrities, do they get hooked up with the tickets through agents, through hookups, through Vegas, or do they have to actually give a credit card and pay?
No, they get hooked up, because if I want George Clooney in the building, I find a comp ticket for him, because it's great for George Clooney to be sitting front and center. That's why. They get comp tickets.
And you would also think, like, if they call up their agent, let's say you're some guy who's raking in $20 million a movie, that agent will do anything to keep you happy.
Yeah.
Anything. So if you're DiCaprio and you're like, get me tickets to the fight, that agent will sell his house to make sure he gets some tickets.
You're right.
Right?
Because that guy bills out so much to DiCaprio.
Guy's probably made $15 million over his life just off DiCaprio or whatever. Maybe more than that.
Now you're right.
Sure.
At least if he's got to go online and spend $100,000, forget it. I got to give you $100,000.
Yeah,
I'll do whatever I have to make you happy.
What happens is they make a few phone calls and they end up calling Dana White or Mayweather's camp and say we need 4 tickets for DiCaprio.
Well, and a lot of it is in one pocket, out the other. So to that point, I got to call it Mayweather's guy, but then when DiCaprio's throwing his exclusive party, Mayweather's going to make sure he's there. I'll make sure he gets him in the house or the building. Yeah. You know, so they'll hand out tickets to people that they know they're going to gain something from in the future. But I'm reluctant to throw this out, but there's just because this doesn't feel real. Like, there's like a WWE sideshow feel
like
to it.
Like a Hulk Hogan, Rocky Balboa?
Doesn't it have the potential for, like, the greatest fix in history? Like, I don't
McGregor
think...
McGregor beats him?
I don't think Mayweather would take a dive because of his record and because of his attitude. And I just don't see it. But if he lost, I don't even know if this would count as a loss. Because it's not, like, a real boxing match. It's not for a title or anything. It's just...
I think,
and you look at the odds, like, they're so skewed in the favor of Mayweather. You can make a fortune if you bet on McGregor and he won this fight.
He's got everything to lose, though, Mayweather.
There's the rematch element to it.
But what if McGregor pops him one? This guy's never really been popped, from what I've seen. What if McGregor finds a way to, like, pop him a few times?
He's got to hope that that happens, but I saw a couple people tweet this out last night. It's a good point. These guys, they spar with pro boxers to get prepared.
Right.
Like, what if McGregor's sparring with pros and he's realizing, I'm going to get crushed?
Yeah.
Like, these guys are so much better with their footwork and their pacing and all that. Like, that's fighting a guy. Like, there's a video that's out right now of him a year and a half ago fighting, like, the 30th ranked boxer in the world. And this guy is just, he's dancing all over the ring. And McGregor's just, he looks completely out of place. That's the 30th ranked.
Yeah.
Wait till you get Money May in the ring and he's ready to rock.
He's dancing.
Like, I want to come up with a way, and I'm sure over the next 2 months we'll come up with a way that McGregor can win this fight, but just looking at the history and who these guys are, man, Mayweather, Pacquiao couldn't get close.
I know.
How is McGregor going to get close?
I don't know.
I'm
People
not sure.
are saying that. And I don't know enough about it, but people are saying, like, McGregor is an ultra-skilled athlete. Like, I don't know if he just learned boxing.
Great.
And, like,
put Sidney Crosby in the ring. What does that mean? If you're a great athlete, it doesn't mean anything.
But you're right. But I like the analogy baseball to softball. You're still hitting a ball. It'd just be interesting how close it'll be.
Yeah. It's instead of a 65-mile-an-hour floater, it's a 99-mile-an-hour bomb.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Roger Clemens is going to join us at 5:30.
That's a big name.
His son Casey was drafted by the Jays this week in the 8th round, I believe it was. First baseman out of Texas.
Yeah.
So, Roger Clemens. You've met him before, Noodles.
Have you met
Roger Clemens?
I have not, no.
Met him through mutual friends.
Okay, so we'll catch up with Roger Clemens in about 45 minutes. Our buddy Pat Hickey from the Gazette Montreal will check in just after 5 to get his take on the Drouin for Sergachev trade. And we're tracking the U.S. Open as well down in Wisconsin. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, two legends coming up in the 5 p.m. hour. One of our favorites, Pat Hickey from the Montreal Gazette.
He is such a beauty.
I love Pat. He's such a good guy. He's always willing to come on the show. He's older. He's crusty. He fits in beautifully with everything we represent.
He is. He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he's great. And Roger Clemens will join us at 5:30. Pierre LeBrun reporting that contract talks have gone well with Marc-Edouard Vlasic in San Jose. He's a year away from UFA, so he may sign a long-term deal come this summer. He's got one of those wives who's on the Hockey Wives.
Yeah, I'm...
And you're not a fan. She's very critical of his game.
I'm just saying, if I jumped in the car after a game and Steph was, like, chirping my game, I'd just pull over and say, get the hell out. Here's an Uber. That's what I would say. Like, I'm, and I know, they're probably have a different relationship and either closer or... You know,
closer.
Know.
Yeah, they're probably closer than us.
They probably get along.
Just gave me the bird.
That's the kind of comment you make when you're not sure if your wife is listening, not when you know she's 10 feet
when
away.
She's 12 feet away, yeah.
They like each other.
Either way, my point being is if she came in, if I got in the car, she's like, yeah, you know what, you could have, you know, your reverse VH on the post, you're really soft in that play. I'd be like, just.
Let's be honest, it probably happens every once in a while with this show where she's like, you were awful that
Yes,
night.
It happens. And you see what happens. I'm like, shut the hell up. She's all over me.
Yeah,
she, actually, you know what?
Jamie and Jeff were terrible.
Yeah, you guys
today.
Were terrible
not
today.
Focusing.
What was going?
Yeah, hey, she carves me up too.
Oh, yeah.
But she'll say it to my face all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Like
brutal.
She's not a
you
backstabber.
Though no. We never have anything to say when we get an email. Yeah. Looking into a few things, but we got Ray at 5.
Yeah.
Wow,
got Ray
great.
At 5. They
well,
locked
she got,
in.
She's got Roger Clemens today.
Female Al.
And the great Pat Hickey.
I know. She did come up big. But when she have when she has off days, I mean, we don't really tune her up.
No.
We got Ray at 5, and we're looking for a golf guy for 6:20. nothing yet.
Nothing yet.
I'm rattled about the U.S. Open. Ricky Fowler at 7 under.
That means like 20 under is going to win it. They're going to be pissed off, and they'll trick up the course tomorrow for...
Well, they shouldn't have cut the rough then.
Exactly. But that's not even the
problem. I don't even think that's
I don't think the course is U.S. Open caliber. Like,
really?
It's aesthetically beautiful. It looks great.
Is it Dragger's course?
No, that was a dog track. But you should never shoot 7 under at a U.S. Open. I think the best opens are when a guy's fighting for even par to win the tournament.
What I don't like about looking at it, it's like it looks like a European course. I like the traditional U.S. Open golf courses.
You're the Trump of golf fans.
Well, no.
You want to make America great?
I just don't like the British Open is the next tournament. I don't like two courses that kind of look similar with the fescue and all that. I don't like it. I don't like the look of it.
Look at you, eh? America first.
I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about a tree-lined golf course that's just...
I'm with you.
What's a fescue?
It's annoying.
Long
you would
grass.
Hate a fescue. You would hate a fescue.
Fescue would own you.
Yeah, it would own you.
I'm going nowhere near it.
All right, Pat Hickey from the Gazette on the Drouin Sergachev trade, and Roger Clemens at 5:30, hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.